Hey, listen, NATO is a political military alliance. So that's the big difference with China or Russia, where one person in the end takes all the decisions. We are a democratic alliance and a military alliance. And that means that decisions will always be informed by military and political considerations. That's how it works.
This is my video update on this Saturday midday, May the 23rd. Coming to you from Moscow, let's talk about some news. And before we get started with today's news stories, let me take this time to say thank you to everybody that is liking this video, to everyone that is subscribed to my channel or will subscribe to my channel. Thank you so much. And to all of those who are hyping this video, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love those hypes, don't we? We all love the hypes. Not sure what the hype does, but man, it sounds good. So thank you for liking, thank you for subscribing, thank you for commenting, and thank you for hyping. Merci, 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 muchas gracias. Спасибо большое, Aristo Paraboli. Thank you very much. Let's talk about what is happening in the world today. What a day of news yesterday, huh? Tulsi Gabbard resigned. We have news on Iran and a possible return to the war, to a hot war. And we had the horrific drone strikes into a dormitory in Lugansk. We also have a NATO meeting that is taking place, I believe, in Sweden. So we got a lot of news to get to. We have to start with Tulsi Gabbard's resignation. I don't think this surprises anyone, though Tulsi Gabbard, she posted on X that she will be resigning in order to look after her sick husband, who has been diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Tulsi Gabbard, to her husband, of course, to her family. And we hope that they get through this difficult time. But with Tulsi's resignation, the Trump White House is pretty much full neocon, right? I don't think there's anyone left that is America First or original MAGA. I don't think there's any original MAGA left in the Trump White House. I think we have the new MAGA, which is the neocon MAGA. But the Trump White House now is done with what Trump started in 2016. That is no more. So Tulsi Gabbard, she is gone. She was sidelined pretty early on, actually, in the Trump administration. The reports are that she was sidelined by Rubio, by Wiles. She was not included in any of the important meetings. She was against the Iran war, though she did issue a statement after Operation Midnight Hammer that she did support the president. So she did issue that statement after Operation Midnight Hammer. But the reports are that she was never on board with the Iran war, with all of the war and all the warmongering. And she was investigating Russiagate, which she was actually doing a really good job of investigating Russiagate. And she was coming out with some really good information, but the news cycle just drowned out all of her reports about Russiagate and how it went all the way to Obama. She was investigating the Ukraine labs as well, the COOF. Was she involved in looking into Epstein? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if she was doing any Epstein stuff. JFK assassination, MLK assassination. There were reports that her offices were raided by the FBI last week, though that was denied fairly quickly. Actually, Fox News Jesse Waters actually ran with some sort of a raid on her office, as did Representative Luna as well, I believe. But the minute those reports came out, they were denied by Gabbard herself. I think her office actually denied the reports of some sort of a raid. And then, you have Joe Kent, of course, who was working for her, who stepped down about a month ago. And after everything that happened with Kent, after he stepped down, it was fairly clear that Gabbard was going to leave soon as well. The interesting part to all of this, or at least the interesting reporting to all of this, is that Reuters claims she was forced out. This is what Reuters is running with. Of course, this is Reuters. Not sure how much to believe in their reporting. But Reuters is saying that the White House forced U.S. intelligence official Tulsi Gabbard to resign from her posts. A person familiar with the matter said. It's always a person familiar with the matter. In the article, it doesn't really get into any details, to be quite honest. The only thing that Reuters says in this article is that a source familiar with the matter said that Gabbard had been forced out by the White House. The White House did not respond to a request for comment. But Davis Ingle, a White House spokesperson, said on X that Gabbard was departing in light of her husband's diagnosis. That's all the Reuters article says. It goes on to talk about, well, it mentions April, talks about the reports going back to April where Trump was not happy with Gabbard and he was asking around about a replacement to Gabbard. But we already knew that. That was in April. So that's the Reuters article there, talking about Gabbard being forced out. Responsible statecraft. One second, do I have this article? Yes, I do. They have an article with the title, Tulsi Gabbard Needed a Trump Exit with Integrity and Principles Intact. Supporters say the longer she stayed, the more she would be tainted by the failing war policies she never fully embraced. She never fully embraced. Anyway, that's the full title. So that's coming from Responsible Statecraft. So I'm not sure how much influence Tulsi Gabbard had on Trump. Probably none. It looks like she had no influence on Trump. But now her exit means that it is full neocon in the White House, full warmonger, neocon U.S. Trump administration. We have reports about a possible strike on Iran. This is according to Axios and CBS News. Once again, Axios, not the most reliable source, though they have incredible access into the Trump White House. CBS News, not the most reliable source, though they have incredible access into the Trump White House. They are reporting that Trump is meeting with his top advisors, and he is looking into a strike against Iran, an airstrike, possibly this weekend. Could be coming today, could be coming tomorrow. The reports from both of these publications claim that Trump skipped his son's wedding in order to meet with the national security team and talk about possible targets. What is the plan if we proceed with an attack against Iran, another attack against Iran? What are the targets? What is going to be Iran's retaliation? I think we know Iran's retaliation. We pretty much know how Iran is going to retaliate. They're going to hit the GCC countries. They're going to possibly close the Mandab Strait. Maybe the Houthis will jump into the action. Iran's retaliation could be devastating, actually. It'll probably do a lot more damage than what the U.S. military and what the Trump White House are trying to put together. But Trump skipped his son's wedding so he could meet with his national security team. Axios is reporting that Trump is very frustrated with the progress of negotiations. What negotiations is what I say. A source close to Trump said a second source with knowledge of the situation told Axios that Trump had grown increasingly frustrated about the negotiations with Iran over the past several days. Did I read that correctly? This is from Axios. Trump met top advisors on Iran as he weighs return to war. Behind the scenes, a source close to Trump and a second source with knowledge of the situation. Okay, those are the sources. A source close to Trump and a second source with knowledge of the situation. That's what I wanted to read again. A source with knowledge of the situation. It could be you, it could be me. Just someone with knowledge of the situation. Could be a European diplomat, could be an Israeli diplomat. Who knows? Who knows? But they are claiming that Trump is frustrated with the negotiations. There are no real negotiations. What we have going on right now are messages being passed on by Pakistan. No one is sitting at a table. We don't have the two sides sitting at a table facing one another, actually spending a couple of days or a couple of weeks trying to figure things out. Those are real negotiations. That's a proper negotiation. What we have is a list of U.S. demands that they hand over to Pakistan. Pakistan hands over those demands to Iran. Then Iran puts together a list of their demands. They hand those to Pakistan, and Pakistan hands those demands, that list, to the United States. It is pretty much the same freaking list. Maybe there's some changes, some small changes here and there, but that's what we've had going on for the past 2 months. So that is the situation with what is happening in Iran. What do you guys think? Are we going to get a strike today, this evening, tomorrow? It is Memorial Day weekend, isn't it, in the United States? Is Trump going to launch a strike on Memorial Day weekend, during Memorial Day weekend? Possible. Probable. Though I don't know what the airstrike is going to accomplish. No one knows what the airstrike is trying to accomplish. But I guess the Trump White House has to be seen as doing something. We have the horrific strike that happened yesterday in Lugansk, hitting a dormitory for 14 to 18-year-old students. This was a wave of drones, actually, that hit this dormitory. We have many, many students who are still missing, most likely trapped under the rubble as they were asleep in the dormitory. The death toll, I believe, has climbed to 10. In my video update yesterday, I played a segment of the president, the Russian President Putin, talking about the strike. It's very rare that Putin actually does say anything about the Ukraine drone strikes, but obviously he had to say something with regards to this drone strike. A very angry Russian president who has now ordered the Russian military to put together options for a retaliation. He actually said that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they're going to work the diplomatic angle. But he then went on to say that This is not about diplomacy. No more diplomacy. There's only so much that the foreign ministry is going to be able to do in this situation. And he called on the military to put together the options to retaliate. And I imagine it's going to be a big retaliation. I would think it's going to be a big retaliation. You could tell that Putin was visibly angry, upset at what had taken place. I think everyone in the room was obviously very, very angry with this attack. During his speech, Putin ruled out the possibility that the school was hit by accident. He actually said that 16 drones hit the same location. It's very rare that you get the Russian president talking about these types of the drone strikes that have been happening. Very rare that you see him talk about this and get into the detail of the waves of drones and how many drones. But he actually talked about how there is no way this was an accident, noting the waves and the targeting. 16 drones hitting one dormitory. He also said that the situation on the front lines for Ukraine is, let me get this quote right, is turning from critical to catastrophic. I said, let me get the quote right, and I messed up the quote. The situation, he said, is turning from critical into catastrophic. He also said that during his statement. Let me see if I have any quotes to read. Any more quotes to read here. The Russian Foreign Ministry has been instructed to inform international organizations and the international community about this crime. Putin said, in such cases, statements from the Foreign Ministry alone would not suffice. Therefore, the Russian Defense Ministry has been ordered to submit its proposals. Okay. So we wait to see what happens next. What is going to be the retaliation of the Russian military? Let's now talk about the NATO meeting. We're going to have the big NATO meeting in Ankara on July 6th, 7th, 8th, sometime around there. But this is a NATO foreign ministers meeting, but I'm not quite sure what type of NATO meeting this is. There's all kinds of NATO meetings all the time, Collective West meetings all the time. I lose track. But it was important enough for Marco Rubio to show up, so I guess it's a pretty meaningful NATO meeting. And I do believe it's taking place in Sweden. I talked about the comments from the Swedish Prime Minister yesterday, with Marco Rutte standing next to him, where he commented about the drones, saying that NATO needs to help direct the drones to hit their targets. So that's what he said yesterday at a meeting with Rutte. We had the Polish defense minister yesterday, and I talked about this in my video update, mentioning that the Ukraine drones need to be more precise. We now have the NATO meeting taking place. We had the drone strike into this school in Lugansk. All of this happened yesterday. And so now we have the meeting that is happening in Sweden. This statue, this area, this Blåsjat, this square, is the one area where all of the pigeons in Moscow hang out. Every other square, you don't see this many pigeons. But on this square, this is the pigeon hotspot. Right? Right. The pigeon hotspots. So the agenda for NATO, of course, is Project Ukraine and Project Hormuz. Can we call it that? Project Ukraine and Project Hormuz. The foreign minister of Sweden, Maria Stenergard, she said that NATO is going to discuss opening the Strait of Hormuz during this get-together. Yep, NATO, with their powerful navy. Take away the United States, NATO, with their powerful navy, because the United States is trying to open the Strait of Hormuz, right? And they can't accomplish it, to the point where Trump is frustrated with the negotiations. But now NATO is going to help out, so that'll do the trick, according to the foreign minister of Sweden. It's definitely in Swedish and European interests to make sure that we keep the strait open and that Iran cannot use this as a weapon again, she said in an interview ahead of Friday's meeting of NATO foreign ministers. So I'm quite open to discussing different formats. Okay, it's a NATO meeting of foreign ministers. So yeah, we got to make sure, according to Maria, the foreign minister of Sweden, that Iran doesn't use the Strait of Hormuz as a weapon again. Forgetting to mention, deliberately not mentioning that it was Iran that was attacked for no reason at all, right? The United States decided to attack Iran in order to try and get a regime change. She doesn't want to mention that. She's just saying that Iran is using it as a weapon, and that's not right. So NATO is not going to accomplish anything. Let's get real. Come on. If the United States can't open it, plus the United States has put a blockade now on Iran, a blockade against China. But if the United States has failed for over 2 months, what is NATO going to possibly accomplish? Nothing. Zero, zilch, nada, ничего. No chance to accomplish anything, but it sounds good. The reason NATO's saying this is because they want to get on the U.S.'s good side. They want to get on Rubio's good side and Trump's good side, because Trump is constantly complaining that the NATO member states are doing nothing, and they're afraid that the United States might pull their funding, right? It's always about the money, and the money comes from the United States. The money, the support, it's all coming from the USA, and they're afraid that the USA might start to cut back on some of that moolah, some of that cash. So they're trying to make it out as if they support Trump now. They're on board with Trump, and they're going to help out. They're going to pitch in by sending what? By sending what, a boat or two? What are they going to send? Maybe France can do something, but that's about it. They can't do anything else. Just France, if France can do anything. Germany has to borrow ships from... No, the UK has to borrow ships from Germany. That's how bad it is for the UK. So that's the statement from NATO. Rutte said that the Green Goblin, Le Gobelin Vert, has been invited to the Ankara summit, even though the United States has said that they don't want any non-member NATO states at these events. The Trump administration has actually said that. They're on record saying no non-NATO member states at these events. Rutte has gone on to invite Le Gobelin Vert, and Politico wrote an article claiming that Le Gobelin Vert has still not accepted the invitation. Of course he's going to accept the invitation. Are you kidding me? Anything to get out of Kiev. Come on. Like, Zelensky is going to turn down an invitation to travel somewhere and to collect some more money, right? Because he's not going to go to an Ankara meeting without having some money promised to him. Le Gobelin Vert does not work for free. He does not travel for free. Come on, everybody. So that's the statement from Rutte, showing NATO's support for Project Ukraine and for the Green Goblin. By the way, the mainstream media, they got the script for the bombing of the drone attack on the dormitory. And they ran with the same title as they were reporting on this strike on the dormitory in Lugansk. This is from Reuters. Putin accuses Ukraine of deadly attack on student dorm. From the New York Post, Putin accuses Ukraine of drone attack on student dorm. Sky News, Vladimir Putin has accused Ukraine of committing a terrorist act after an overnight drone attack on a school killed at least six and injured 39. Okay, Sky News is a little bit different. The BBC changed it up a bit. The BBC got a bit more creative, I guess you could say, with their title. Russia's Putin vows retaliation after accusing Ukraine of hitting a student dormitory. So they got the script, the memo. You're going to run with Putin accuses. That's what you're going to run with. And those are the titles that they put together. Pretty much the same exact title across all of these media outlets. And when you go into the article, it doesn't really get into any detail at all. It's all Russia accuses and Putin accuses, and we can't confirm the Russian accusations or the Russian reports. We cannot independently confirm what the Kremlin is saying. That's pretty much the articles across all of these collective West media outlets. No condemnation of Ukraine or of Le Gobert there. We have another interesting development. Which way should I go? Let's go this way. So we have an interesting development with Ivanka Trump. According to the New York Post, she was a target of an IRGC terrorist. She was targeted to be deleted by an IRGC Iraqi, Iran travel agent terrorist. I think I ticked all the boxes. I think I got it right. And yes, I did say travel agent. That was not an accident. Many times I mess up as I do my walks and talks. But no, that is what the New York Post is reporting. So this is someone who is now under arrest, and I'll tell you exactly where he is. He's been arrested, and I'll tell you exactly the prison that he is located in, because it's pretty interesting. But he's been arrested, and he was plotting to take out Ivanka Trump, the daughter of U.S. President Trump, married to Jared Kushner. And this guy was going to do it as an act of revenge for what the Trump White House did to Soleimani, for taking out Soleimani. He was very loyal to Soleimani, and he's connected with Iraq. He has a special passport that I believe Iraq gave him, so it allowed him to travel a bit more freely. He still had to go through security checks, but this passport was not a diplomatic passport, but it was some special passport, which made the security checks a bit more easier as he was traveling around. And his ultimate goal was to get to Ivanka. He even had allegedly maps of her house and her compound where she stays, like a $25 million house. And he had it all mapped out. Very angry about the assassination of Soleimani. And he was a travel agent, or he had some sort of travel agency. So he was planning to get to Ivanka while at the same time, and the New York Post actually mentions this, while at the same time he was traveling around the world, posting images of himself in Paris, hanging out at the Eiffel Tower, canoeing. He has images of himself in a canoe. Basically a travel vlog. He was traveling all over the place and he was documenting it, and he was promoting this travel company that he had set up, which was a type of front. What a wild story. And of course, this is going to be used in order to push for more strikes, for renewed strikes against Iran. Absolutely, this is going to be used to push for more war. Back in Trump's first term, it was actually Ivanka who convinced Trump during his first term to strike Syria. You guys remember that? She had seen the photos. I think it was Nikki Haley who was the ambassador. Yeah, Nikki Haley had shown some photos from allegedly the Assad chemical attacks. And Nikki Haley showed the photos in the UN. And the story was that Ivanka saw those photos and saw Nikki Haley's speech. And she was so upset and crying that she then went on to her father. And she told her father how upset she was and what Assad had done. And Trump ordered the strikes into Syria. That was Ivanka. And so here we have another Ivanka story or narrative, courtesy of the New York Post, which will undoubtedly be used to attack Iran. Now, the prison where this guy is staying, where he is locked up, the suspect terrorist, who also allegedly has links to Lebanese paramilitary force Hezbollah, is currently in solitary confinement at Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, which houses other high-profile inmates, like accused CEO shooter Luigi Mangione and captured Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro. So he's in the same prison with Mangione and Maduro. This guy, Al-Saidi. And there's a photo. There's a photo of him in his canoe. And the New York Post puts all the travel photos that this guy was posting. So that's a bizarre report from the New York Post. New York Post is owned by Murdoch, isn't it? I always forget who owns the New York Post. Can I go in here? I think I can. Let's go. And I've got a clown world to do, but wow. What a beautiful church. Amazing. Beautiful. Okay, let's do a clown world. I feel like this video has been sad. It's been a sad video. A lot of bad news yesterday. But we'll do our traditional clown world segment. And we turn to Greenland, where the US president has posted another meme image where he is, it's a giant Trump, it's a gigantic Trump, not even a giant Trump, it's a gigantic Trump, who is overlooking Greenland with the title, "Hello, Greenland." What a terrifying image. Hello, a giant Trump looking at Greenland. "Hello, Greenland, I like it. I like it a lot. I am giant. Giant Trump. And I like Greenland." So once again, we're talking about Greenland. We got Cuba. We got Greenland. We got an Iran airstrike. Rubio, by the way, in the NATO meeting said that the U.S. is not acting as a mediator or negotiator anymore between Russia and Ukraine. So he mentioned that. He also mentioned how the U.S. is disappointed with the NATO member states because they're not helping out with Iran. So he said that as well. But Greenland now. So what is going on with Greenland? The U.S. opened up an embassy, a new embassy. My understanding is that it's a big embassy in Greenland. Or consulate, not an embassy, a consulate. My bad. Different things. But a big consulate. So they have a big presence now in Greenland. There were protests outside of a consulate. For the size of Greenland, the protests were significant. because you're talking about a small population, but a lot of people showed up and they did not like the fact that the U.S. has this new and improved consulate. I hope I'm not getting this story wrong. And then you have the negotiations, which are taking place. I don't know if you can call them negotiations, but the U.S. is looking at taking a part of southern Greenland. And it would be an overseas territory. So look, NATO, Denmark, the United States, what they're discussing right now. And they're being clever with the words, the reporting, the BBC and all the media outlets are being very clever with the way they're wording this. But basically what they're talking about is giving southern Greenland to the United States. It's going to be an overseas territory. It will be a sovereign U.S. military base. It will be sovereign U.S. overseas territory. Basically, they're talking about giving southern Greenland to the United States. It will be USA, southern Greenland. Not all of Greenland, just the south. So anyway, that is the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. Cool place. Looks like a coffee shop. But I don't want to disturb everybody chilling out and eating. So let's keep on walking. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch like what I'm wearing in this video update. And I will see everybody tomorrow. We have a special on the Duran shop, 30% off t-shirts and hats. And we have awesome t-shirts. But the hats, I like them hats. I like it. I like it a lot. Hey, Podoliak, you like them hats? I like them hats. All right, let's end it there. Even Trudeau likes the Duran hats. Justin Trudeau, you idiot. But I like that hat. Thank you, Olaf. I like the Duran hats too. All right. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.